This is Twit.
So I was trolling around in the Microsoft career site, as I am wont to do.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
And I found some interesting job links for a new team that Microsoft's creating internally to bring InnerSource development across the company internally. So InnerSource, I didn't really know that much about. I started researching it.
Never heard that term.
See, I was positive you would have heard of this. That's interesting.
No. Yeah. So InnerSource is when you take open source development principles, but you apply them inside an organization. So it's not like you're open sourcing anything, but you're taking the idea of code reuse and code testing.
Is that because it works so well in open source?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's my point. We'll get
the idealistic goals of open source. You
that
know,
I support, but often creating, open source projects descend into bickering. And you could think of many even recent examples where people have gone off in a huff. I guess
you can't
we
know
do that.
Some people. Yeah. No, but the idealistic goals, the cathedral and bazaar type open source, right? Okay. You know, the idea that you can create code branches, everything happens transparently, documentation is better because everyone's contributing and you can see actually what's going on when people are developing things, which is very, so that's very anti how Microsoft does things. Not every team at Microsoft, but most teams have been very secretive, I feel like. So this is a bootstrapped effort inside the One Engineering System org at Microsoft, which is the org that's trying to bring all the different engineering teams across the different divisions together. And according to this job description, they're going to use GitHub, as you would expect, and they're going to try to get all the teams in different divisions to start doing these more open source-like things so that they can share code across projects, share their documentation, be more open about what's going on when they're developing different projects. I say, let's see, because some teams have been...
You're so much kinder than I am. You know?
No, you know what? Some teams have done this at Microsoft. How about Visual Studio Code, I feel like, is an example of a project that probably is pretty much run like this right now.
But Visual Studio Code is also a very tiny project compared to, say, something like Visual Studio or Office or Windows or...
Yeah. No, so, you know, it's a journey, Paul. We've heard that from Microsoft. It's a journey.
Well, the journey is no reward, Mary Jo. I don't know. I see this kind of cynically. I think of this in the terms of Microsoft's history. You know, Steve Ballmer infamously described Linux as cancer. And this is like the cancer taking over the patient, right? Because Microsoft's got it pretty bad these days when it comes to open source. And also, if you want, speaking of history, I referenced the embrace and extend, and I've often made the joke that Microsoft today is just embrace without extend. But in many ways, this is open source embracing and extending Microsoft, which is the ultimate irony if you know anything about the history of this company.
Yeah.
Because this is the religious part of open source that they're embracing, right? It's the methodology, right? To use a less political word or whatever, but I don't know. I view this as this train racing down the track, and there's no stop to the stupidity, and there's no, you know, there's just a, if you can't agree that what we're doing is perfect, you're not part of the thing anymore, you know. And I worry about this kind of mentality, not because the ideals of InnerSource, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, are not good. But I look at what they describe in GitHub specifically, and I think to myself, Microsoft is the most successful, the biggest software maker on earth. They have solved these problems at scale. They have already.
I think there's room for improvement, right?
There always room for improvement.
Yeah, like I feel like some of the teams have been better at doing these kinds of things than others, like we said, Visual Studio Code. But also, think if some of the teams could have shared their best practices, like Office bringing things cross-platform. What if they could have shared some of that with other teams at Microsoft? Maybe that would have shortened the cycle of them doing something like that.
Yeah, in the past. But I mean, today you could kind of make the argument that Microsoft has, in recent years, made many efforts to bring things together. There's the one Windows Core thing that brought together the phone, which doesn't exist anymore, I know, but Xbox and HoloLens and Surface Hub, and also Windows 10 PCs, obviously. There's Microsoft 365, which is an effort to tie together Windows and Office 365 and the management services not just from a sort of functional integration standpoint, but from a servicing perspective, from a release schedule perspective. So I look, I mean, like I said, I obviously there are good ideas in there. They're great ideas for a company that's never done anything before. I, you know, for Microsoft, I sort of think, well, they've already been very successful doing what they do. And this just kind of reeks of the, you know, it's the new Microsoft versus old Microsoft thing. And at some point, I know I kind of joke about it, but I'm legitimately a little bit concerned about it too, where I kind of don't recognize this company anymore. You know, I think back to when I started doing this 25 years ago and how they were at that time, the things I liked and didn't like about Microsoft, you know, whatever, how the intervening 25 years have gone and so forth, how the company's changed. Right. I mean, this is this company today. We're almost to the point where it literally bears no resemblance at all to the Microsoft that I, you know,
it's true.
I've kind of built a career around it.
I agree with you 100% on that. And I've been doing it like you have for decades. And yeah, I mean, we talk about, you know, I've brought this up on the show a couple of times. I remember calling different teams at Microsoft over the years and saying, hey, do you know the Office team is doing blah? And they're like, no, they're not. And I'm like, yeah, they are. And then they went over and were like, hey, you guys doing this? Yeah, they are. Oh, what? I'm like, how did you not know that? Like, it's going to impact what's going on with Windows and Internet Explorer. And like, why? How do you guys not know this? But the old culture of Microsoft was, and in some parts still is, secrecy is the best way. And until pretty recently, even pitting teams in inside one org against each other and made the best project win. Still,
you know, do you know what company is exactly like that today, by the way, is Apple. And Apple operates under a veil of secrecy that I don't think even Microsoft ever achieved. And obviously they have some problems right now, but they are also the biggest company on earth, too. I mean, you know, I'm not I want to be clear here. I don't mean to say that this inner source thing is nonsense, that what they're doing is stupid. It's more I see this as another step in this direction that I'm unsure of. And I feel like I think the bigger problem, how can I explain this? It's a little bit like the accessibility stuff, you know, where it's accessibility at all costs, you know, where if we just add an accessibility feature, it is by definition positive and necessary and right. Whereas I've argued that some of the things I've done are, you know, crazy and don't make any sense. It's a little bit like that because you are instantly branded. If you ever complain about something like that, you're seen as some kind of a crazy person, right?
Right.
But I'm just asking questions. I mean, I know.
I agree with you. I mean, we talk privately among ourselves about like the whole, you have to be politically correct now and say certain things certain ways or and be all in on the growth mindset or you're out, you know. And this is to some extent part of that, right? It's like the kinder, gentler, more open, more sharing company.
I don't think Apple's any less cult-like. I mean,
Oh no. If anything, they're more cult-like.
I think that
But that's unhealthy. That aspect of it is.
Oh, I agree. But that's separate from the kind of development environment you espouse. That's something else. That's another issue with corporate culture. Is the cult-like issue?
I think
Apple. When you say Apple does, you know, kind of more secret development, they're more monolithic in a way in their. In their goal. Microsoft's a much more diverse company.
It is.
When they say inner source, are they saying across the board with everything they do?
They're saying within the one engineering system or service that they're building, which is, as far as I understand it, it's not every single product because I don't think like Surface would be part of this. I don't think hardware or anything
software,
consumer
based. Would it be all software?
I think so.
See, I think that's not a bad thing, especially it's an antidote, isn't it, to the problem Microsoft, you know, historically has. You kind of alluded to it where you've got all the different divisions. Yeah, that's a famous org chart where they're all shooting each other.
By the way, that was Microsoft during the Steven Sinofsky era, right? And in some dark alternate future where he took over the company and would have driven the whole thing into the ground instead of just Windows. You know, that's how that company would have operated for sure. And it did in many ways operate. No, that's not the right approach. I mean, you know, any comparison with Apple is not going to be perfect. There are different companies. And like you said, Microsoft's a more diverse company in the sense that they have many, many more businesses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you think about the secretive development of the iPhone or the car project that they've been working on or not working on, because no one really talks about it. That's done in secrecy from the people within the company, right? That the people inside Apple knew less about that than people on the outside. And there was absolutely some of that with Microsoft for sure. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't know, you know, again, it's a hard thing to explain, but I feel like at Microsoft, like I said, you're either on board or you're not. And I feel like there's a healthier conversation that should be happening with any decision, not just we have to do this because this is what we're doing, you know? And I worry about this mentality because you're kind of railroading the company. I don't know why I keep using train metaphors, but you're, you know, you're moving in this direction. And I feel like it's without any debate, you know, or any discussion at all.
Well, and it'll be anyone
who
brings, to see.
Anyone who says anything is like, you're out.
Well, you kind of, that's called leadership. I mean, maybe they had internal discussion. You kind of have to say at some point, hey, you know, this is what we've decided on, and everybody needs to get on board, right?
Yeah,
I don't think that's bad.
No, the job description for this main role for this, too, says, you know, your job is going to be basically selling this idea to the product teams. You're going to go to them and say, hey, you know what we want you to do?
Remind me not to apply for that job.
I mean, this is how, you know, dictatorships function, right? What do you mean you don't like the idea? Have you ever heard of the gulag?
Will cooperate.
Yeah.
This, a couple
here's
of credits.
Another interesting. No, here's another kind of telling an interesting piece. So the way I found this first job posting was there's somebody who works at Microsoft who tweeted, hey, did you guys see this job post? And then he said, Gianluca Rebellino will be heading up this new Inner Source initiative. So I'm like, who's that guy? And I looked him up, and he was one of the main guys behind the Microsoft Open Source Technologies subsidiary for years at Microsoft. So I'm like, okay, so this is interesting.
I kind of think this is great. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, just a couple of credits before we go too much farther. The term Inner Source was coined by Tim O'Reilly.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Who is a writer and thinker, obviously, about all this stuff and publishes the O'Reilly books. And the famous org chart is from Bonkers World. And I'm very proud to say that I have a autographed copy of that org chart hanging on my wall.
That's amazing.
At home. He did a custom version for me. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mary Jo.
No, that was all I was going to say is it seems like there's a definite group of people, probably many of them inspired by GitHub or from GitHub even, who are saying, you know what, now we own GitHub, let's get everybody to use GitHub and do things the GitHub way.
I like that. I mean, and I like that in the sense that Microsoft's various engineering teams should all be using the same systems, you know?
Yeah.
I that makes tons of sense.
It does.
I want to be really clear about this because I'm not saying it's wrong or bad. I'm just saying, you know, we've had so much of this kind of kumbaya stuff under Satya Nadella. It's like, seriously, at some point, I feel like I'm losing track of the script.
It's the old bloodthirsty Microsoft. Is that it?
By the way, it is a company that competes with other companies. They're supposed to be that way.
It
right?
is. And you know what? It's way more fun to write about that, too, isn't it? Like,
and the kumbaya version of Microsoft.
Everyone's a winner, Leo. Everyone.
I feel like it's way more fun to write about Office fighting against Windows than everyone's contributing code into GitHub and sharing ideas.
But,
here's a couple of things. I think it's easier to get developers, new developers, to come into that because a lot of people grew up in that environment. I think it probably is a better development platform. That's the whole theory behind this, is that you'll get better code. And haven't we been saying Microsoft has to fix its systems? I mean,
We're going to talk about that in about 10 seconds.
Okay.
So we have the next story. I'm going to highlight that exact problem.
I think this is it kind of makes sense in light of all the other things Microsoft has been doing. Right?
That I agree with completely. It's certainly consistent. With the Microsoft that has evolved before our eyes over the past, what has it been, 5 years?
Wikipedia has a good Inner Source article, and it talks about the key factors, and it actually kind of makes a lot of sense. It I don't think it's necessarily not competitive.
Does it make sense like wearing white sneakers and laying down in a bunker?
No, it's not drinking the Kool-Aid sense. Things like coordination and leadership to support the emergence of an internal meritocracy. That's as opposed to the stacking system that they used to use. Remember that?
Stack ranking.
Where you would basically cut the throat of your colleague. You know, this is the survivor.
That's exactly
version.
How I play Call of Duty. I'm sorry, that makes sense.
That's why you don't like
it. We are teammates in word only.
Transparency to open up the organization, yep. Another tenet. Management support and motivation to involve people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I understand Paul is not new agey, for Christ's sake. He's from Boston. But but we in California, Paul.
Yeah. I see how this is going, Leo.
Embrace.
I see what's happening here.
Kumbaya feelings. Just
get in the prayer circle and shut
up. Get your feelings out, Paul. Let them out. You've got a lot of negativity in there.
Yes, I do. That's true.
And you're keeping it, damn it.
Mm-hmm. I think we both just have covered them so long. It's hard to believe that they could ever change completely from the
look
company.
Look what's happened in 5 years.
It's unfathomable. I feel like everything like this, every time one of these types of things happen, and there have been many of these stories where all of a sudden Microsoft's doing this completely different thing. I just always think back like this company, I know the world's changed, right? We know that the Microsoft's never going to dominate personal computing the way that it once did, right? And we know that there's really no chance it can do this again in any new market. There's no, the world, I've often said, actually, to be fair to myself, open always wins in the end. There's no doubt about it.
That's right. This is it, Paul.
I know, but it's you know, it's the process that's so
come into the light, Paul. It's good in here.
Now, I think Leo hit on a point. Like, if you're a younger, newer, more recently trained developer, I think you expect this is the way developers.
I agree with that
works completely.
That's true.
And you're not like, wait a minute, why doesn't Office talk to Windows? What's up with that, guys? Instead, you're like, hey, aren't we all using GitHub together?
Well. I'm sure for a recently graduated developer type coming to a company like Microsoft that has source code bases that date back literally decades.
Yeah.
That the Windows source code, the Office source code, that kind of stuff must look like COBOL to them. Exactly. You know, it must be the most horrible, ancient, you know, monolithic, just crazy source code. It has to be terrible.